Tobalt Seed of Moorhead, Minnesota is one of the area's largest non-GMO food-grade soybean companies, and they're looking to fill even more acres for 2022. The demand has never been better, and Tobalt's industry-leading premiums will help put more money in your pocket. Tobalt Seed offers both public and private varieties of wheat, including Westbred 9590 and 9479, AgriPro, AP Murdoch, and AP Smith, and the new Minnesota Torgy. Call Tobalt Seed today, 218-287-2904, and ask for Cole. Tobalt Seed, your one-stop shop for all your seed needs.
Hey, welcome back. It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr in the North Dakota Corn Council studio. All right, for those of you who watch the History Channel now and then, you might have observed or seen some of these recent series or shows entitled, The Food That Built America, The Machines That Built America, The Tractors That Built America, even. Well, along those same lines is a fantastic book, John Deere, Henry Ford, International Harvester, and the Birth of Modern Agriculture. The book is titled Tractor Wars, and it's written by Neil Dahlstrom. Good afternoon, Neil.
Good afternoon.
Hey, thank you very much for joining us here today. You are the manager of archives and history at John Deere. Neil, I checked all the land-grant universities I could. You can't get a degree in archives or history at a tractor company. What qualifies you to be the to get that job?
Well, you can't get it specifically for a tractor company, but you can get that degree. I've actually got a master's in historical administration with a concentration in archives. And so that's how I came to be. So it wasn't a case of I worked at Deere and became the archivist. I was an archivist and hired to work in the Deere archives.
Okay, super. Well, you got a farm background, ag background at all?
So my background is not on the farm. My dad and grandfather both worked for Case IH, building combines in the shop. My grandparents met at Minneapolis Moline. My great uncle and great grandfather on the other side worked for Deere. My great aunt worked for Deere. So I'm kind of all over the map, not on the farm, but just kind of relationship with these brands.
But you are involved. It's in your genes. Tractors are in your genes, apparently.
They're in my genes. I just didn't know it.
Okay. Well, this book must have been a lot of fun to write. Obviously, is this a book about John Deere, or you've included a few other brands in there? And again, the history of, and understand the beginnings of mechanized agriculture using gasoline, going from steam to gasoline powered. It's a little contentious.
Yeah, it was. This is very much the origin story of what we know as the farm tractor today. So the goal wasn't to set out and say, I'm going to write a history of John Deere or International Harvester. The goal was to figure out how this machine came to be, which includes amazing personalities, you know, these companies that we know quite a bit about today. And of course, my perspective from John Deere, but it's very much of what was going inside of these companies, what was happening. What was the context around World War I, the Spanish flu, and Ag Depression in the early 1920s? So how did this thing really come to be, and then who are the people involved?
Now, currently, I don't know if it's analogous or not, but there is a tremendous marketing war and bidding war and technology war when it comes to electric vehicles. Was the same true way back when between McCormick, Deering, J.I. Case, Henry Ford, and the Deere folks?
It's so similar. It's kind of scary, actually. I mean, you could kind of just plot these parallel paths. And really, part of this tractor story in the early 20th century, it parallels the introduction of the automobile as well, which started with a lot of entrepreneurs, companies, designers, engineers trying to build electric vehicles, battery-powered automobiles, and they kind of settled on the internal combustion engine for a number of reasons, some of which we're dealing with today. But a lot of these same people are the people who are driving development of the farm tractor and trying to build a market for it.
Yeah. Well, it kind of all began, making farming less labor-intensive began with tillage. Did it begin with tillage equipment or harvesting equipment first?
It was really tillage equipment. You were mostly plowing with tractors. So when someone like Henry Ford comes along, who's got this kind of one size fits all mentality for machines similar to his Model T. But yeah, it's really about tillage. And then in the 1920s, it becomes about everything else. And it's one of those, what I found to be an interesting part of the story is you can't just introduce a tractor because now you've got to redesign every implement that goes with the tractor, whether it's harvesting or tillage or planting or whatever you're doing. So that's the end of this title, The Birth of Modern Agriculture. The tractor drives so many changes in machine forms, going from wood to steel, just changing hitches and everything across the board's got to change to kind of follow. So it's not just the tractor itself, it's everything else around it.
Ed, I would assume as we transition from the great cabs that we have now with a lot of technology to tractors with no steering wheels, autonomous tractors, the same is going to happen. Everything's got to be redesigned.
Yeah, everything's got to be redesigned. It's really interesting. These early tractors in the 19 teens, there was this effort because you have to transition people, right? So if you're horse farming and you're not really sure about the tractor, there are a number of machines on the market called line steer or rein steer tractors that instead of a steering wheel, maybe had leather reins as the steering mechanism. You had things like motor cultivators, which were meant to kind of ease you into mechanical power. So yeah, you get all these kind of, in hindsight, they seem a little crazy and off base, but at the time it makes sense because you do have to transition people to these new technologies.
Interesting. All right. The title, we're visiting with Neil Dahlstrom, the title of his book, Tractor Wars, subtitled John Deere, Henry Ford, International Harvester, and the Birth of Modern Agriculture. So who was first when it comes to tractors?
It's an incredibly loaded question. I've settled on the idea that it really depends on your definition of the word first. Okay. Early on, International Harvester was a clear market leader with their Mogul and Titan line in the 19-teens and their predecessors. And then you get into 1918, so right at the end of World War I, when Henry Ford starts selling his Fordson tractor domestically, and he very quickly secures a dominant position in the industry. And the market, the field goes from 6 or 8 manufacturers in 1910 to over 150 a decade later. So now everyone wants a piece of the puzzle and they're kind of fighting for what's remaining in market share. And then a company like John Deere that's kind of slow and steady, figuring out the market, trying to build what they consider to be the right tractor and go about it in the right way. And it's really what drove me to focus on Deere, Ford, and IH, which is they were very different companies and they approached the industry in very different ways. And it's fascinating to put those stories side by side.
Which proves once again that possibly the early adopters, the innovators, the alpha animals out there who haven't done their beta testing may not be the winners in marketing.
Yeah, and there's plenty of those stories here as well. And that's something I just wanted to bring to light is, you know, you have these engine manufacturers and folks who specialize just in transmissions or even wheels, you know, or longstanding farm implement manufacturers that can't figure out a tractor. So they're really focused on their implements. And then there's companies that just got it wrong, a company like Emerson Brandingham in Rockford, Illinois, who was much bigger than Deere. They bought the big 430 tractor, big prairie tractor, and they bet on a large tractor, and it failed, and they were bankrupt a decade later. So plenty of failure in here next to all the successes.
More with Neil Dahlstrom and his new book, Tractor Wars, after this quick break here in the North Dakota Corn Council studio. This is Farm Talk. We'll be right back.